Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fourth and goal for the Lions from the 4. Goff takes the snap, fakes the give, rolls right, got a man wide open. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 1, 2, 3 times today. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Thank you to Lions Radio for that. It was a absolute butt-kicking. Lions taking on the Bears yesterday, Pearl. The Bears coming off of a fourth-quarter collapse, or what we thought may have been the beginning of the J.J. McCarthy story. Turns out that's going to be on hold for another week after the Vikings lost to the Falcons at home last night on Sunday Night Football. But about those Lions, you know, to me, the biggest takeaway I had from that game is one, ouch, if you're Ben Johnson, because after the Lions were, the offense was really sputtering against the Green Bay Packers, especially the run game in the opener. We're like, boy, do they miss Ben Johnson? This offense just doesn't look the same. Well, I don't think they do. This was just a full dismantling yesterday afternoon.
Well, the Lions are a team, I saw, like, Dan Campbell has more 50-point games than anyone since, like, Don Coryell. Like, once they get rolling downhill, especially in that dome, forget it. Like, I feel for the Lions, a 52-point game is just the same as, like, a normal team scoring 35, right? I mean, they first play the game, Amon-Ra St. Brown's just running wild. Like, that was a blowout from the get-go.
Well, it was kind of close a little bit at halftime. And I actually thought that Caleb Williams was putting together a pretty good game. And then you're right, it just got out of hand in the second half because there's something right now. This is a trend that I'm keeping an eye on big time when it comes to Chicago. These third quarters, it was bad against the Vikings in week one. Brian Flores got in his bag in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter and fourth quarter. Caleb was not great. And then we saw it in the third quarter again. They're held scoreless, and it just it allowed the Lions to start running away with things. And so,
I mean, I would argue also it sort of the end of the first half, it looked like the half was over, and the officials went back and put time back on the clock, and somehow the Bears' defense let them score. All they had to do was guard the goal line. They let them score a late touchdown. And we went from 21-14, then 28-14. You're down 14 points in Detroit.
Yep.
Like, I think the Bears' defense got deflated by that and tired. And they were tired from the get-go. I don't know. Remember we were excited about Dennis Allen being the defensive coordinator there last week? I think we said that. Like, he's supposed, he can't head coach, but he can defensive coordinate. Sure didn't look like it yesterday.
Yeah, well, to be fair to the Bears, too, they had injuries in this game. Guys trying to come back who end up getting knocked out of the game again, right? Like T.J. Edwards and also Jalen Johnson, who played the game, but then got hurt in the game. And then they were either limited or out at the end. But, like, by then it was just gone anyway. But here's a question for you. So Caleb did not play terribly. You can see the throws. Like, you can see on some of the throws, Pearl, you can see the talent and obviously his ability to scramble, but it's not nearly enough. Not nearly enough for what we were thinking. Now, maybe the end of the year looks a lot different than the beginning of the year, but they're already down now 2 division games. And, you know, I think any hopes of the playoffs is quickly, you know, slipping away from them. Do you think Ben Johnson at all is regretting taking the Bears job? This is a guy who was so strategic, could have been the Washington Commanders head coach. Could have had any pick of the litter job. Do you think he bit off a little more than he could chew in terms of taking that Bears job, a place that's never been known for offense, and he's an offensive guy?
Well, to be fair, we didn't know that Washington was going to be that kind of job. They were coming off the Dan Snyder era. There was a lot of unknowns. So I'm not going to kill him for that. The two big choices this offseason were the Raiders and the Bears. I think you have the same problem with both jobs. This is the two hardest divisions, arguably. Mm. Now, the only major downside for the Bears is being in that division, to me. I'm not even that upset with Caleb Williams. Like, it looks like he can at least work with Caleb Williams. So they're awesome on the first drive. The first 15 plays, just make the whole game out of that first 15 plays. It's a black box theory.
Yeah.
It's a black box in a plane. Make the whole plane out of the black box. Make the whole game out of that 15. Then he had another killer drive in the second quarter.
Yeah, he did.
So at least
if only teams wouldn't adjust.
Well, it's also, too, like, if you look at the drives in the third quarter, run 2 yards, run 1 yard, third and eight, Caleb. He can't run the ball here where he could run the ball like crazy in Detroit. I think he wish he had Jahmyr Gibbs with him. So I think that offensive line they put a lot into is not creating the holes they want, especially late in the game. So I'm not killing Caleb. Also, can we talk about Caleb Williams' interception?
Yeah.
He had two touchdowns, one. He had one interception. It was a second and third.
The other was a fumble. Yep.
It was second and 32. And
yeah.
I mean, like,
there was also a third and 34 in this game.
So he threw a 40-yard pass. It was intercepted on second and 32, and people are making a big deal out of it. That was this offensive line and its penalties is a big deal. Caleb is a lot to work on. I mean, this is a before we judge Ben Johnson's future, I want to see this game against Dallas. It's home. This is a litmus test. Like, they, if they go 0-3 and Caleb has another, how would you describe it? Mediocre game? Mid?
Just uneven. Very uneven. Never can get really in a rhythm. You mentioned one good drive in the second half, but beyond that, not a whole lot. He can use his legs. Here's my one thing, though, about Ben Johnson. I feel like you're letting him off the hook a little bit.
In what sense?
Because you're saying that, you know, it's a really tough division, so you kind of have to, like, give him time or whatever. Like, we talked about this before the season started, and I said, what do you think's more, we talked about what's more important to the Bears fans? Is it that they actually make the playoffs or that Caleb Williams is a 4,000-yard passer? Right. We're not getting either. Right.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to be patient. Caleb Williams, it's his second game in Ben Johnson's offense. Are you sure it's going to look like this 8 games from now?
Well, I freaking hope not. But the other part is, was there always going to be this idea of square peg, round hole between Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson? Like, is Caleb Williams either... Like, is he just not the right guy for Ben Johnson? Look what Jared Goff's doing yesterday. Did Jared Goff move 5 feet yesterday? I mean, he's moving around a little bit in the pocket. This dude is a completely opposite of what Caleb Williams is. I mean, Jared Goff can throw on the run a little bit. It's not that. He's not a total statue, but this is not the same kind of guy. And that was very apparent yesterday when they're on the field playing across from one another. And so I'm just thinking, did Ben Johnson kind of take the wrong assignment here? Not only did you go to a Bears team that is not known for being so great in the front office, a Bears team that's never been able to get offense going, and you have Caleb Williams, who's nothing like the guy who you had all the success with in Detroit.
I just think 2 games is way too early to say all that. I mean, your logic totally follows, but I think you're overjudging the first 2 games. I mean, listen, you just lost 52-21.
Yes.
You're talking about the offense? Who cares? You let 52 points.
Yeah, well,
and honestly, it could have been more.
It could have been. I know. Well, and that's the thing about the Lions. They don't let up. And Ben Johnson was talking about it after the game. Manny, can we hear a little from the head coach? Cut 8. He's Ben Johnson not acknowledging that the Lions were running up the score on them.
I believe Dan Campbell ran it up on you on that 4th and 4 goal.
What's he supposed to do? Is 4th and goal, what do you want him to do? Yeah, he could have kicked the field goal. They don't kick field goals. They go for it there. So he was doing what he was supposed to do. That's what he does.
Yeah, I mean...
Perfect.
It is what they do. Anyone else have a problem with it, with Dan Campbell?
No.
No. I have more of a problem with Ben Johnson's 4th down attempts. Like, that's looked wonky all year. Because he wants to go for it on every time. They were 0-for-2. Again, like, they're terrible on 4th, and they're not even close.
And what's funny to me is that the way he said it, that's what they do, is if we haven't been seeing you do the same thing the first 2 weeks.
Well,
it's
one,
like,
of them was also a QB sneak by Caleb.
Oh,
they started on 3rd down and on 4th down and couldn't get a yard.
But also, too, that was like a QB sneak on 4th, and that was closer to 4th and 2. I'm like, where are you sneaking to? What is what is happening here? I don't know why. Ben Johnson
sneak to
is
the bar after that.
He is losing his mind on 4th down. I will give you that. That's why I'm gonna give him a little growing pains. I mean, I just think that, like, it's not a total disaster yet with Caleb.
it's quite the bar there.
Yeah. That's where my bar is. Like, it's not a total disaster. Yeah, would Tyson Bagent be running a better offense? Probably. But
they put him in also a little early, no? Tyson Bagent, they put him in with like 7.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, Caleb was getting destroyed. That O-line had no chance. Caleb was getting hit a lot by that point.
Let's hear from Brian Branch, please, Manny. So this is the Lions safety who said they wanted to beat Ben Johnson because the team felt betrayed by him.
Very motivated. We know coming into this game that this is personal. Really, all these games personal. But this one was just, we felt like we've been, you know, betrayed from the staff to the players. And, you know, we love Ben. We still love Ben. He's a great, you know, coach. He's a great mastermind. But, yeah, it was time to get out there.
I mean, betrayed. You know, the guy stuck around, Pearl, probably for 2 years longer than he you know, could have. He could have probably taken a lower level job, like a lesser head coaching job.
Betrayed
even after that first one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it goes to show you players will look for any motivation. By the way, Brian Branch.
So good.
Monster. You know, I have a big history with the Eagles not drafting him. And I thought that was a huge mistake.
You and Howie Roseman's ear.
Well, so he went, I think, 45 in the Eagles truck. Then they took Nolan Smith. I'm like, what? They don't need Nolan Smith. Now Nolan Smith's a house on fire. So I love both of them. Brian Branch, one of my favorite players, but do you still trust him in a big moment? Because he forced a fumble on DeAndre Swift that sort of changed the tide early in the game. He feels like he's this close to a personal foul at all times. You probably can't see on radio that I'm doing a small finger.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Like an inch away.
Betrayed
he's
it.
So good. I worry about him just staying healthy more than I worry about.
Yeah, because he's a kamikaze a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's great, though.
You know, it's funny about the personal aspect of this game. We're talking about the Lions' 52-21 win over the Chicago Bears. It's their former offensive coordinator now at the helm of Chicago, and they totally wiped the floor with them. Brian Branch kind of saying it was personal because Ben Johnson is no longer there. And then Dan Campbell
betrayed it,
running up the score. I mean, even if Ben Johnson wants to say that's what they do, it kind of is a Bush League move from Campbell. I guess we all just expect it, but kicking the field goal with 4th and 4 in the fourth quarter when you're up by that much would have been the right thing to do, don't you think?
Nah,
what are you proving at that point? You got to.
What's
so you
the point
be
of
Dan
adding
Campbell.
A field goal?
No, but he's like, because you can't just take a knee. Like you still have to play the game.
Right. A lot of teams will start going for it on fourth down when they're up by 30 points because they're like, we'd rather run some clock than to actually add 3 points. That happens all the time.
I don't know. This one to me, like. Is Dan Campbell like a method actor? Like he can't ever be out of the role no matter what? It's like, is he Daniel Day-Lewis?
Well, what?
Like you got to be Abraham Lincoln even when you're at home with your family. Like it just doesn't, you can always choose to kick the field goal there. How much more time did it take off the clock that they punched in that touchdown? 2 seconds?
Well, I just think that, you know, first of all, Dan Campbell does that, but like what difference kicking the field goal be like? What do you need those 3 points for? Like, that's how...
Well, what did you need the 6 for?
I don't know. They score 50 points all the time. Like, this is a Lions thing, though, to just start rolling.
You're not trying to impress the committee. It's not the point differential, I guess. I don't know what you're going for at that point.
I felt like it was more trying to send a message to his team. Because they lost... It felt like they had no swagger at all. It felt like they lost whatever superpowers they had with Ben Johnson. It seemed like it was all lost last week.
Well, maybe the Packers are just like the legendary defense.
Maybe, but I think for your team, I think you do want to say, hey, listen, we're still those guys. And it doesn't matter who you are, even if our friends on the other side, we're going to put our foot on your neck and we're not going to let you go at all. Yeah. I think that was a message to his team to be like, we still got it and this is who we are still. Because that loss, I don't know, to me, that Lions-Packers game, that felt like an identity-shifting loss for both teams. Where it seemed like the Packers now had the juice and the Lions lost it. I think Dan Campbell's trying to get that back.
Yeah, but I think that maybe we're learning now that was not exactly how it seemed. First of all, I think the Packers may have the best defense in the league. That's possible. And that's saying something considering all the good defenses out there. And secondly, like, it is only week one. So, but I think you send that message whether you win 52-21 or whether you win 46-21. You know, like, do you need that extra?
I just they fourth down is what they do. Like, I think Ben Johnson, I kind of agree with him. Like, that is how they play. If they were playing any other team, like, we saw them how many games last year? Remember they played the Jaguars? That game was over, like, basically 5 minutes in. Like, this is what they do. They run it up on everybody. So I think it would have been out of character for them to change.
Yeah,
maybe he should have, considering they are friends and stuff. And Dan Campbell talked about that all week. But that's just not who they are.
No one scores 50 like the Lions.
Exactly.
They had two 50-pointers last year and one now. Like, they are the team that scores a lot of points. You're right. It feels like more in character. Like, if they had, like, pulled punches for Ben Johnson, that would have felt weird, too. But that being said, like, I think the Bears' defense might be awful because I saw J.J. McCarthy last night, and he whooped them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They might be just like, and they put a lot of money into this defense, too. I know that you mentioned the injuries. That is,
I think they don't have a lot of depth.
But then again, is their front seven? Like, that should be better at this point, and it just is not.
That Montez Sweat trade is not looking good today.
It did look good at moments.
Yeah, the first time when they got him back, but, man, I don't know.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking, did Ben Johnson make a mistake taking the Bears' job? Also, is Dan Campbell, is it just what he does? Is that a good enough excuse for running up the score
like
they did on the Bears? Okay, also answering a question about the Dallas Cowboys. Got a poll question out there for you at Maggie and Pearl on X. The question today
is...
Did
I talk to Michael?
Micah.
The question is, did he talk to Michael? No, the question is, are you more encouraged or discouraged by the Cowboys needing every second of overtime to beat Manny's New York Giants?
Are you asking me?
59% of you saying you are discouraged. Mm. Also,
are you kidding
full question,
me?
Are you out on Arch Manning after Arch was booed by the home crowd, not beating UTEP by enough, Pearl? 17 points, not a big enough margin, and Arch looked pretty bad to start that game. 53% say no. Holding on for Arch Manning.
Arch has some schedule stuff working his way. He's got Sam Houston, who's just one man, who's going up against him next week. So that's going to be, you know, a good chance. Then they go to Florida on October 4th. Like,
that
what?
Looked like a harder game 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, like, what will that game be? We have no idea. Then they host Oklahoma, at least. Oh, that's a rivalry. And then Kentucky at Mississippi State. Then they host Vanderbilt. For some reason, like, Arch could be bad, and they could still be easily in the playoffs.
Yeah, Arch is playing bad.
Well, I'm saying he could be bad moving forward, and they could still win all these games. I mean, they need to get Wiseman back, and they need to really, like, figure out their receiving core.
The defense is still really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, first of all, that game wasn't nearly as close as 27-10. That was... I'm sorry, UTEP, you had no chance in that game. And it never even felt like a game. So we'll see. I'm not as out on Arch as I think a lot of people are. There are certain throws that he does very well, and he can run like crazy. I don't know why he's sidearming the ball still, but just tell him, don't sidearm the ball.
You don't think Sarkis said that? 888-710-4ISN. Maybe say it again. 888-710-4476. Okay, lots of NFL and college to react to again. Mondays, all about, well, every day is about you, but Monday's particularly all about you. If we're not talking about the game you want to talk about, just give us a call. We will get to Notre Dame going to 0-2 on the season. Is the college football playoff no longer a possibility for the Fighting Irish? Also, we got some reporting from Adam Schefter over the weekend about Shedeur Sanders and that legendary draft slip. This one was shocking. And also shows Shedeur still, they don't get it over there. They just don't. Maggie and Pearl off show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Every Monday, we do the M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down? after another just crazy sports weekend. All right, Maggie, get us started off.
Okay, there was so much good college football and crazy finishes in the NFL yesterday. But if you're asking me whose stock has risen the most over the last 48 hours, the answer is Terrence Bud Crawford, who defeated Canelo Alvarez over the weekend in Vegas Pearl. Massive fight, started way too late on the East Coast. But he became the first male boxer to capture three unified division titles, won by unanimous decision in the super middleweight championship. 70,000 people at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas had to go up two weight classes for this one and really took it to Canelo, who has been the face of boxing for many, many years. And credit to Canelo, because he never ducks a fight, unlike some other boxers of this generation. But Bud Crawford, Pearl, now some are asking, is he the greatest fighter of this generation? It's a fair question.
Yeah. So who is it that said he's better than Mayweather?
Max Kellerman? Who said it?
Oh, someone did say this.
I thought it was a boxer who said it.
Oh, I think Canelo said it after the fight.
Canelo said it.
Yeah,
Canelo said it.
He's way better than Floyd.
Yeah, that's...
He did say that, yeah.
That's a bit dicey. But, so how old is Bud Crawford, though? So his stock
gonna up... He's going to be 38.
So he's going to be 38. So is stock really up, or is that stock... Is that a blue chip stock that you just bought at its height?
Legacy play. I mean, he was not being talked about as the greatest boxer of the generation before this win. Now, because Canelo's like the face of boxing, and he's the $100 million fighter and all that, and Bud Crawford taking him out, pride of Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha was fully represented, lots of celebrities in the crowd. Big deal, love a prize fight, and Bud Crawford comes through. And I think Canelo won maybe three rounds.
It's Hispanic
Heritage. I gave him four, but yeah, it was four to three.
It's Hispanic Heritage Month. This is a hate crime.
Sorry,
Manny. Oh, Manny, I'm sorry. But you know what? I love Canelo because, again, he never ducked anybody.
And yeah, I feel like Canelo didn't lose much from this. Like, I think everyone respects him. Yeah.
He's like, I'm good. Not going to stop either. All right, Pearl, whose stock is up?
We love the nickname, and I think we're starting to love the player. It's got to be Indiana Jones. Dan Jones. Some people call him Danny Dimes. He's good. Shane Steichen. And here's the other thing, and I want an apology from you. Will you now admit Shane Steichen is good? And I say that, the Colts head coach, who was a former Eagles coordinator, who I've always thought was really, really solid. One, he seems like the best dude. I had never met him, but players love him. And two, he just runs like this, the right offense. Even with Hurt, even 2 years before Hurts blew up, like I could see the seeds. Like he really knows how to get his quarterback out of trouble. He's great at this sort of Shanahan roll right play. I really like what I'm seeing out of Daniel Jones. Stock up, and I'm stock up on the Colts too, because they have a lot of ways they can beat you. I'm seeing 10-7.
They should not have won yesterday.
This is another hate crime.
This is crazy.
They
Daniel
should,
Jones,
by the way. They,
whatever. Let's
they
wait
control
and see.
The game. They should have won that game. Kicker, they kind of lost it at the end. In the fourth quarter, they had some foibles.
Kicker missed the 60-yarder. They get called for a penalty. Moves it 15 yards up. Wasn't a 60-yarder? 15-yard penalty for leverage. He gets to re-kick it, and then they won the game. If you're the Denver Broncos, you're absolutely sick. So, no, I'm not in on the Daniel Jones, Dan Jones, Indiana Jones, whatever.
He had 316 yards against the Broncos.
I think the Broncos are still figuring stuff out. I don't know why, but I think that defense still is going to be good. I don't know what happened yesterday, but that penalty was the reason they won the game.
I think it's top five defense. I think they're really, really good.
So then you think the Colts must be a top five offense?
Well, no, I'm not going to go top five offense, but I think when they're indoors, like, they just have so many different toys to play with. Tyler Wharton looks great. And we know Jonathan Taylor's fantastic. Now, that's probably my biggest concern.
Injuries.
Injury to Jonathan Taylor.
And Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Jonathan Taylor's actually more important to them than Indiana Jones. But Dan Jones is good. Can you just admit it? Not you. And when I say you, I mean the universal you. Like, no. We'll see. Like, he's good. He's not great, but I think he's going to be good. He's like kind of... You talked earlier about how Caleb Williams does not fit with Ben Johnson. Daniel Jones does seem to fit pretty well with Shane Steichen. Yes, he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes, but I think he could be competent enough to win a lot of games here.
All right, well, if the stock goes up, then the stock has to go down. And I got to go stock down to Joe Burrow. Not necessarily his fault, but another injury. Turf toe this time. We're waiting to see on whether or not he may need surgery. If he If he doesn't get the surgery, Pearl, that just means he's, what, going to have to play through an inordinate amount of pain. If he can even go, I just, this is such a bummer for Joe Burrow, who is the 1A maybe to Patrick Mahomes, or at least 100% on that tier one level. The defense has always let him down, and his own body has let him down at times. So stock down now for Burrow. Again, not his fault he got turf toe, but ouch.
Yeah, I mean,
it's gonna be another lost year.
You're right. We came in this season saying, is he tied with Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the league? And now we're talking, you mentioned legacy. Feels like his legacy is being messed up by that. All right, my sack down. I'm going to do a couple bad beats. If you were,
Are we coming clean right now?
Come on,
or just bad beats?
Bad beats. If you were a Cardinals better, I think it was 6.5. Like, that game was so over and dead, and all of a sudden storming back to make it. They probably could have even won the game. Cardinals won 27-22 after this was a complete blowout for 53 minutes. Yep. It was an incredible loss. But the ultimate one was, I want to make sure I have these numbers right. Penn State Villanova.
Yep. 48.5.
What was it?
48.5.
48.5. And then Villanova. I mean, that was
an unreal touchdown.
That was like a sea of hands level touchdown. That was incredible.
Back in the end zone.
52-6. Which, if my math is correct, is 46 points. That was the worst beat of the day. Because Villanova hadn't done anything in this game. And Penn State could have obviously scored more if they wanted to. That was a brutal beat.
Okay, we have time for another round. Stock up. Got to go Brandon Aubrey. One of the big winners of the weekend outside of Bud Crawford. Sorry, Manny. Field goals of 51 yards, 44, 64. Which his head coach settled for a 64-yard field goal. That's how much confidence they had in him, or that's how silly Brian Schottenheimer is. And then a 46-yarder to win it in overtime as time ticked away. I mean, the guy's a weapon. He really is. Yeah. And the fact that he was sitting on the couch a couple of years ago as like a retired soccer player from Notre Dame, and now he could kick his way into the Hall of Fame if he keeps this up, pretty unreal.
Yeah, I love this story. They tell the story that his girlfriend's like, I think you could do that. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I could do that.
I might get my butt off the couch.
Okay, I'm going to throw a little lighter fluid onto the situation here. I'm going to go a stock up, and I'm curious what you guys think of this guy. Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards. Now, I listen to New York radio all week saying that if you don't get Jackson Dart in, it's franchise malpractice.
Yeah, sorry, that was me calling every show.
That dude threw for 450 yards and three touchdowns. Now, this is a stock. Is he good? Like, is Russell Wilson good? This is a stock question mark. Because I do want to present that to the group. Like, I'm like, I don't know. It kind of looks like the old Russ.
No, yeah, Cowboys can't get a pass rush to save their life.
But, I mean, I don't know. I thought Russell Wilson looked pretty darn, like, pretty accurate. Like, there was a point where he was 17-19, like, I don't know. He's throwing darts all over the field to me. I thought he looked like a good quarterback. Am I crazy?
Not too crazy.
I mean, he was very... I mean, there was almost a point where he was perfect for a long part of that game.
He was very good against the Cowboys. There's no doubt about that.
So what does that mean?
It was just bombs away, though. Like, that's the...
No, he was good at intermediate, too. Like, he was hitting everything.
I didn't think he could play like that anymore. I'll be honest. That was his most stunning performance of the weekend to me. Him throwing for 400 yards? When's the last time he did that? Have you ever done that?
You know, he ran a little bit. Like,
Greg Olsen said it's his best game since leaving Seattle.
Well, he had some moments last year in Pittsburgh. We were kind of high on him earlier in the year. Like, he's a skilled quarterback. He's not a scrub the way people have been portraying him.
Stock
but then,
down?
But then he rushed.
No, that was
at the
a stock question
time.
Mark.
That's a stock question mark? that was a stock up. And now
I got to stock up. I'm going to give Russell Wilson a stock up. I'm into Russ. Bogus, you're sitting here. You're a Giants fan. Any reaction to Russ?
I mean, my update was going to begin with him. Can I just take it over from here?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No. Because my answer is in the first clip I have.
Wait, can I do one more stock down?
Yeah.
I think it's stock down in the short term, but stock not sure in the long term, which is Notre Dame. So Notre Dame loses at home to Texas A&M. They already have two losses now. So 0-2, you think stock all the way down. The defense stinks. You know, A&M hadn't beaten a ranked opponent on the road in forever, and they finally do. But I just think the committee is just too enamored with Notre Dame. It's too juicy with people who love them, people who love to hate them. And if they do win out, which looks pretty dicey right now, but it also looked dicey last year after they lost to Northern Illinois, If they win out, I think they're getting in. So I think it's stock down in the moment, but ultimately, because it's Notre Dame, I think they will get a spot in the college football playoff if they run the table. Now, can they win 10 in a row is the question.
I mean, yeah, I would go stock out. Is that it?
Sell your stock?
I think they're out.
Even if they win 10 in a row, they go 10 and 2?
Yeah, I think they're not going to make it a 10 and 2.
Oh, the committee can't quit them.
It's a great question.
A 12-team college football playoff was made for teams like Notre Dame.
Want to do a show bet? Something involving Irish and leprechauns and all that?
Just how many? Well, I can chug beer. You're not really into that.
You got to eat corned beef or something?
How about a box of Lucky Charms?
No.
I know you don't like...
it's too much sugar.
Who's dressing as a leprechaun?
Ugh. Yeah. You'd rather eat a box of Lucky Charms.
Oh, I'd gladly eat a box of Lucky Charms. I'd die to eat a box. I want to lose this bet on purpose just to eat the Lucky Charms.
Maggie wearing that little hat would just be the funniest thing ever.
All right, leprechaun suit. Pearl, you in? I'm going to say that they are going to make it. If they run the table.
Yeah, so you get an out if they lose, like, say, to...
Well, three losses might be a little challenging.
I mean, they go to Arkansas in a couple weeks, and that quarterback could just run for 500 yards against them. I really don't want to dress up as a leprechaun. I feel like that is culturally insensitive.
They do it.
I'm Irish. I'll allow it.
It's their mascot.
See, I'm looking at you for help. I believe I can sign off on that.
All right, folks, give us the latest.
We'll get back to Russell Wilson, but the breaking news is on our TV screen right here, so we can see it. ESPN's reporting Joe Burrow will have surgery for yesterday's turf toe injury, so he's expected to miss at least 3 months, which takes us into the middle of December. Best case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, and then even if he does come back, now he hasn't played for 3 months, you're in the teeth of your schedule.
And what's he coming back to?
Can Jake Browning, who I believe went 4-3, I had this.
I said it earlier in the show.
This. Yes.
Yeah, 4-3 2 years ago. They're 2-0, which is an achievement for this team. If you look at their schedule, there are enough wins to be in the mix by December.
But then he comes back and I guess it's Joe Burrow. So you think he just hits the ground running? Totally fine. Middle of December. This is the end of their schedule from week 15 on. Okay, let's do week 14 on. Hold on, let's do week 13 on. Let's do Thursday. They're playing Thanksgiving at Baltimore, then at Buffalo the next week. Baltimore again, at Miami, Arizona, Cleveland.
Five. Put me in for that. I'll play in the Miami and Cleveland game at Arizona.
The Shador Sanders era at that point.
Yeah, yeah. They get Arizona in Cincinnati. Ooh, I like that. And there, you know how the Cardinals play at the end of the season. They haven't won a December game in a long time. I check those numbers. That's a pretty good last three, but you definitely want to avoid the at Baltimore and at Buffalo. If you're Joe Burrow,
need them.
But if you're Joe Burrow, you're like, give me a couple more weeks of PT. I'm not going to go to Buffalo. That might be good to sacrifice Jake Browning in those really, really hard games to win.
But you might need Joe Burrow to win those games, right? Don't you want Joe Burrow for both of your games against the Ravens?
No. I say, those are L's. The at Baltimore and at Buffalo, take that loss. Do not put a possibly injury-prone Joe Burrow out for those games. Just take the L's there.
Man, they got to really hope that the Steelers just completely fold the tent, which I don't think they're going to, by the way. Steelers lost yesterday at home to a Seattle team traveling across the country and with Sam Darnold at the helm, but that defense is so good and the special teams gaffe was really what turned the tide.
Why the Steelers? Just because they play them twice? I mean, there's a million teams in this wild card hunt, right? You got Denver, the Chargers. You definitely have the Colts and the Texans. The Jags probably should be 2-0.
Well, because it's two games on your schedule that you're probably hoping that Jake Browning can help you win. No?
Yeah.
If this is going to come down to every single pot, they're going to need a lot of things to break right to still be in the hunt. You need Pittsburgh to be not a good team.
I mean, if the timeline is minimum of 3 months, and obviously that's a guess at this point, but that's December 15th, which is through week 15.
Yeah.
So that's 14 games are going to be played. If they're 6-8, that almost feels like best case scenario. He's got to come back and win out to even think about a wild card.
I think they could do better than 4-8 with Jake Browning. He's very high end backup. There was a point where he could have probably earned a starting job.
But what are the actual games when you look now?
Mm-hmm.
The games that you feel really confident that they're going to win.
Well, at Minnesota, what's that? It's probably
confident though about them winning?
You don't feel confident, but if you watch Minnesota last night, that they're not scaring you.
No, they're not scaring me, but so I'll give you that. I'll give you the Jets game, and I'll give you a Bears game, but that's 5 wins.
I think the Patriots.
TBD.
It's a home game.
It's at home.
They got to get into that last month with Miami, Arizona, and Chicago.
Yeah, but 2 Baltimore, a Buffalo,
Cleveland.
Pittsburgh, twice, Green Bay, Detroit, Denver, in Denver. Jake Browning better be damn good to even have Joe Burrow need to come back in the middle of December.
Do you see T. Higgins just mossing everybody? That, when he basically just get away from me little people on that touchdown. They do have T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Is there something? I'm trying to say, they have Chase Brown looks pretty good.
I wish they had a defense. I wish you could say that we had to score 24 points to win, but you can't say that.
Trey Hendrickson was really good. Closed out the game for him yesterday against Jacksonville, so they're going to need a lot more of that. Imagine if they didn't have him, which they almost didn't because of the stupid contract stuff. Again, Jake Browning is going to be taken over because Joe Burrow is out for the next 3 months at least with turf toe surgery that he's undergoing, what they say today.
Yeah.
It's just a tough assignment for a backup.
Okay, just to sell the Jake Browning experience a little more, who do you have more faith in next week, Jake Browning or J.J. McCarthy?
Browning.
Yeah, Browning's got way more experience.
In a head-to-head, but does that mean that Justin Jefferson's not going to run through a defense once or twice, this Bengal defense once or twice?
Well, we got Chase running. This is basically the LSU battle.
Yeah, but the Vikings can play defense.
Also, the last time that Jake Browning did play all those games and was 4-3, the Bengals didn't make the playoffs. They went 9-8 and lost the playoffs. They actually came in last place in the division.
Yeah, the Vikings are 4.5-point favorites. So, yeah, I'm squinting to help you with this Jake Browning
experience.
Justin
Jefferson seeing his frenemy, Jamar Chase, means he's definitely going for 180 because he just has to always one-up his frenemy.
Even Chris Collinsworth was bringing it up on the broadcast last night. He's like, I know everyone says they're going to be patient with J.J. McCarthy. But
Bears Justin, guy.
They went through all the quarterbacks that wanted to be in Minnesota. Like, they could have had Cousins. They could have had Aaron Rodgers. They could have had Sam Darnold again.
Yeah. I mean, Sam Darnold made some throws that were like, what if he was in Minnesota right now? That was the most obvious choice. He just had 35 touchdowns the season before.
I was wondering if it was going to be sometimes those baseball trades where the guy gets traded while his team is playing the other team and he just walks from one dugout to the other, like Kirk Cousins just walks from one locker room to the other.
I guess real quick, you asked about Russell Wilson long before the Joe Burrow breaking news. Definitely stock up for 4 quarters. The problem for the Giants was there was overtime in Dallas yesterday afternoon.
Shotgun set for Russell Wilson. Wilson back to throw, feels some pressure, heaves one deep downfield to nobody, and it's intercepted by the Cowboys' Donovan Wilson Dallas 30-yard line.
To nobody is the key phrase from Bob Papa on Giants radio. That pick gave the Cowboys a third possession of overtime. This time they converted with that Brandon Aubrey 46-yard winner. As the clock hit 0:40:37, the final in Big D. Maggie mentioned this already this morning. Aubrey's the first kicker ever to hit field goals as time expired at the end of the fourth quarter and then at the end of overtime. And the one that forced extra time was from 64 yards out. Back to Wilson, 450 yards, 3 scores, but the Giants are 0-2, and Brian Daboll needs a hug.
That was a tough one. Battled back and forth. Guys left it all out on the field.
Good Lord.
And it's a tough result.
Good times. Good times. After the win, Jerry Jones said the Cowboys are signing Jadeveon Clowney to boost a pass rush. The Falcon pass rush sacked J.J. McCarthy 6 times, harassed him into 3 turnovers on Sunday Night Football. Falcons won in Minnesota 22-6. And Maggie, you mentioned Notre Dame real quick, 0-2. Still ranks number 24.
Saw that.
First team since 88 to stay ranked through an 0-2 start.
Wow.
How many people do you think were surprised when Jerry Jones said they're signing Jadeveon Clowney? It was like news to people in the front office. Like, I guess we are. Okay, thank you
probably
both.
Probably Tashadi, too.
Coming up.
Definitely the PR department.
888-710-4ISN. If you want to talk about your favorite team. Coming up, we tell you who and what was the big moment on campus this week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, M&P.
You never know what you'll see during the college football weekend. Here is Maggie and Perloff's big moment on campus.
Welcome to the show. Get back to the NFL in just a moment. But Pearl, last week, our big moment on campus, just to refresh everyone's memory, was Syracuse head coach Fran Brown, who made his team run gassers after a win against UConn.
Because at certain times in the game, we wasn't running. Guys not running to get lined up. Guys not running to the ball. I want to celebrate the run with the people, but I'm so pissed. Right? I'm mad as heck right now.
There he goes. That caught our ear. This week's big moment on campus, Pearl, was Brian Kelly. Every time you want to love Brian Kelly, he makes it hard. LSU yeah. wins over Florida. It's a big win. SEC win at night. Super fun for LSU. But Brian Kelly got asked a tough question in the press conference, and he did not like it.
What are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
It's one game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game.
I'm here with my family.
Perloff, this kind of just shows that Brian Kelly, listen, after a win, you know, you can be like this, mm-hmm. but still maybe doesn't get it a little bit with the LSU fan base. Now, I'm sure the fans are fine, but you are going to get asked about, you know, things that don't seem to be going right. Yeah. And so I just don't understand why he doesn't just take the easy way out of this and just go, you know, we've got adjustments to make on to the next week. Why start scolding the media?
No, it's terrible. But they did win 20-10 and had 5 interceptions. So I get the media. Like, why? How come you guys didn't look better in that win? But I got to be honest, Brian Kelly's been a jerk since Notre Dame. Like, remember on the sideline in Notre Dame, his like yeah. face would turn around and he'd kind of attack his own players. He's not a nice man. I mean, he's hardcore.
I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
But that's what makes him a good college football coach, is he's so intense and so competitive. I probably would hire him too. I get it. Like I this doesn't kill me with Brian Kelly. That's what you paid for with Brian Kelly. Like, you knew he was kind of a jerk. Like, what do you? I don't know if you can have both, Maggie. I think you kind of need that kind of guy to win.
No, well, you're definitely
Nick
getting
Saban,
that.
Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Brian Kelly. Who's the nice? I mean, Dan Lanning's the one nice guy, it seems like. But generally, like, that kind of stuff wins games. I'm sorry.
Honorable mention goes to Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt. Vandy beats South Carolina. Vandy knocked out South Carolina's quarterback, Lenora Sellers, on a targeting hit. But this is, we have it. We have Diego Pavia and podcaster Theo Vaughn after the game, where Theo Vaughn said that Diego Pavia can date his mom if they beat South Carolina, and they did.
I don't even want to know what he told me about Diego Pavia's mom either. I thought
he was, what?
What? That's not a bad. No, it's not like that. It's not bad at all.
Well, let's hear it.
Tell us.
The way that I understand this story is that, maybe just give me a nod if this is okay. Diego Pavia wins this game. He promised you he would set you up with a date with his mom.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
So, Diego Pavia, congratulations. You have won a date with Theo Vaughn's mom. Who is Theo Vaughn's mom? Is this somebody famous that we should know?
No, you got it backwards.
No, Theo can date Diego Pavio.
Oh, I have this backwards?
Yes.
I ain't nobody floaty.
Wait, why would Diego Pavio want Theo Vaughn to date his mom?
I don't know, but apparently this has been a big thing for Theo Vaughn.
I mean, May.
No, but he
this
said...
This doesn't make sense to me, though.
Theo said no, right, because he's friends with Diego, and he doesn't want to be like a stepdad.
If there's a tsunami and you trying to get on my back...
By the way, can I... Sorry for messing that up.
That makes no sense to me.
There's another card here where Theo kind of explains the situation.
I've always wanted to... My goal is I would like to marry a nurse one day, so that's why I think...
Smart.
He was thinking about that, but... I don't even know if I would do that. I don't know. I like being his friend. I don't want to end up being like his stepdad or something, you know?
That would be weird.
I've always wanted to date a nurse.
Can I say one thing about this game, by the way? The Sellers injury, obviously, a big deal. Concussion. I hope he's fine. Vandy was going to win this game anyway. I mean, they were beating up South Carolina, I think. I don't know if you guys saw that game the same way. I thought this was like, Vandy's good. I mean, they're like real. You know, I know he came in talking about an undefeated season, Diego Pavia, that is. Like, I was like, whoa, I was really impressed by this game in South Carolina.
Yeah, tough day for South Carolina, the state of, because the Gamecocks lose to Vandy. You know, more forgivable SEC versus SEC, but then Clemson goes down against Georgia Tech, so ACC on ACC there. But Clemson, there were high hopes. Clemson's ranked in the top five, now two losses, one to LSU in the opener. Forgivable, but still, that was a home game. And then losing to Haynes King and Georgia Tech, Pearl, is just brutal for Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, they're frauds. There's no doubt about it. And they had every chance to win that game, too. They barely even showed up for the first half of the game. I was annoyed because I bet on Clemson.
Yeah, I imagine. And anyone who was
I bet Clemson because I was like, well, this is like all Georgia Tech is doing is running their quarterback. Clemson will figure this out. No, not so much.
Yeah, we'll come clean on all the bets we lost over the weekend in the next hour. Hang with us. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Coming in May.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.